Welcome to the Event Planning Entertainment Podcast. Adam Wilbur of AdamWilbur.com is an award-winning magician who has been seen performing for celebrities on Good Morning America, CBS, the Discovery Channel, and many more. On the podcast, Adam brings together event planning experts to share how they produce incredible events for their clients, and you can too. Listen to the show and find out why Ben Affleck says Adam performs by far the coolest magic he's ever seen.
Welcome, everybody. This is Adam Wilbur with the Successful Planners Podcast. I'm very, very happy to introduce my guest right now. And I don't want to hack the last name, but it is Christy. And how do you say your last name, Christy?
My last name is LaMagna.
LaMagna. Awesome. Yes. So we're joined here with Christy LaMagna. And we're very, very excited to sort of dive right in. You are my first guest on this podcast. And the whole idea of it, let me give you a brief overview of Christy. She's the president of Strategic Meetings and Events. And I'm basically just going to pick her brain a little bit on what it takes to be a successful meeting and event planner and sort of the challenges faced. So if you're all set to start, I'll just sort of rattle off some questions and you can answer as you see fit.
That sounds great.
Awesome. So the first thing I'd love to know is what inspired you to get into the industry of event planning?
I actually got there in a bit of a circuitous route. I was in public relations and worked for a hospital. And the hospital only had things for me to write about if we had events. So we would do health fairs and flu shot clinics and cancer screenings. So I would have to create an event that I would then write a press release about pre-event and a recap after the event. And what I realized was, although I had a love for writing, I really loved creating events just a little bit more. So I became, instead of a writer who planned events, now I'm an event planner who also writes.
Interesting.
So I stumbled upon it a little bit.
Very cool. And you just found sort of a passion and love as you were getting into it of managing everything, getting everything in place, and then sort of seeing the fruits of your labor pay off once the event happened and was a big success?
Correct. And what's interesting is when you land in the right place and you look back, it seems as if, although you didn't know that was where you were going, your whole life kind of was pointing you in that direction. when I was being registered for kindergarten, apparently all the kids were running around in the auditorium and I didn't like the chaos of that. So I got all the kids to sit down and play and organize this huge game of Duck, Duck, Goose.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, it started in kindergarten and it's been pretty much going since then.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why maybe I'm an entertainer, because I was always known as the class clown. So I guess it does fall into place. Actually, all my teachers used to say, how are you going to make a living with that deck of cards? So now we can look back and laugh at them, I guess.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And as far as now, what do you attribute to your success as far as where you are now in your career? Is it just hard work and dedication, or, how do you sort of look back where you are now and what were the big things that you can contribute to the success that you've gotten thus far?
You know, I think that, well, part of it is I started after I left the hospital, I got my master's degree. And then because I loved publishing, I wanted to do events, but I wanted to be in the publishing field. And I started working at a then very, very prominent publishing company. And I got put into their startup division. So we launched three publications and I was part of the startup team. And because it was a company that was literally, although owned by a much larger company, this group of people was, you know, we were in a small office and everyone did a little bit of everything.
Sure.
They hired me. I got hired as the receptionist because I wanted to get my foot in the door. And 3 days later, they made me their marketing person. But I didn't have anyone to learn from. Nobody in the office knew how to do what I did. I really didn't know how to do what it was they hired me to do that I said I wanted to do. So I kind of had to learn it on my own. And I made a ton of mistakes and I did a lot of crying, but I did a lot of, and this was back when dinosaurs roamed the earth and there was no internet. So it was just a lot of intuition and hard work and gut instinct. And it's paid off and I'm very comfortable pretty much managing any aspect of the job. And I'm not afraid of things I don't know because I grew up in the industry with no one to guide me. So I'm usually pretty comfortable when I'm flying without a net.
Awesome. And then do you have any specific area that you would consider yourself an expert in? Maybe, you know, what in the event planning, meeting planning industry that you like the most or that you feel that you're the best at?
You know, one of the things that I think the way my brain works, I'm not a planner who can come up with, you know, this beautiful designscape, and, you know, I don't have the ability to, you know, arrange florals and see in color the way some planners do. I'm very linear and very strategic, and I can turn an event into part of a company's sales and marketing plan so that it actually enhances their sales effort instead of it being a drain on company finances.
Uh-huh.
So I'm very good at the strategy, very good at tying events into a company's P&L, and I love contracts. Absolutely love to negotiate contracts.
Wow.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do.
Awesome. And I would say that's probably the opposite of, I mean, just from dealing with contracts personally,
yeah,
it's probably the least favorite part of my business. So I would say that's probably the same for a lot of planners, that it's...
Agreed.
Awesome. Well, at least, I guess you've got that above them. You had mentioned learning from your mistakes earlier. Are there any, do you have like one of your biggest mistakes in event planning that you remember and have learned from to never do again?
You know, for a beginning planner, well, the one mistake that I made that I still have to remind myself on a daily basis not to make is you don't know what you don't know, and never assume you've asked all the questions. I was doing a site visit. I counted the number of outlets and made sure that I knew where all the outlets were, but I didn't ask the CSM if the outlets worked. And when I got there and the outlets didn't work, and I said to her, these outlets don't work. And she said, I know. And I said, why didn't you tell me? And she said, you didn't ask.
So wow.
You think you've backed up far enough that you've covered all the bases. And there's usually a minimum of 1 to 2 steps more backwards that you could take that is going to ensure that you haven't overlooked or assumed anything. But my biggest rookie mistake was when I planned a large event, put the budget together, got the budget approved, and didn't realize or overlooked the plus-plus on all the food and beverage and forgot to put in the almost 30% for tax and service charge. And it put us $30,000 over budget.
Man.
And I thought for sure I was going to lose my job. And when I realized it, it was one of those, you know, your heart stops and you say, please don't let this be what I think it is. And it was. And oh my gosh, it was an awful experience. And if you're new and nobody's showing you, it's an easy thing to forget.
Sure.
Yeah, so that sticks with me.
And how did that pan out? Did you end up having to cover some of the costs yourself, or was the client just...
The client was incredibly gracious, and the beautiful thing was they were so unorganized that the email that I sent giving them the original numbers, although they approved the budget, I got an email back that said the budget is approved, but they never read the email that the original numbers were in, so they basically never knew the difference.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, that was a blessing.
Could have been worse. Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, great, great advice. Always cross your T's and dot your I's, right?
Exactly.
How do you personally measure a successful event?
A successful event is one that, so when I start with a client, I'll sit with them, I bring the key stakeholders together and say, I know you think you know why you're going to have this event, but I need each of you to write down on a piece of paper, don't say it out loud, write it down, why are you having this event? And usually the top 3 folks in charge of the event will give me 3 different answers. And the reason we have them write it instead of say it is peer pressure.
Sure.
So what we do is we then get everybody on the same page. And what I say to them is, how would you measure success? What are the 3 things you want people thinking, feeling, and doing after the event? And then what we do is we measure and monitor that. So if I can achieve their goals in terms of what do you want people thinking, feeling, doing after the event, that's how I measure success, if we can get them to do that.
That's awesome. I think that's very, so I deal with a lot of meeting and event planners in my work, and I think that's one thing that most of them don't do, just that little simple thing that you just said,
yep,
which is ask, what do you want out of this? A lot of them just say, I'm throwing a party, I'm throwing a meeting, I know what they want, they want a successful meeting, but they don't have a way to measure what that successful event or meeting is. So I love that idea of just coming right out and asking beforehand, what do you want this to be for it to be a success? And then you've got something to work to.
Yeah, and usually the key stakeholders are not in agreement or can't answer the question. So, well, you know, we have a sales meeting every year. That's not a goal. Why are you doing it? And they have to think about it. So if you don't know what success looks like, how can I get you there?
That's great. Awesome advice. What would you say your favorite part of your industry or business is? What's the thing you like the best about your business?
Oh, I love to help people. I love to solve problems. And I love to deliver. I just like to be the go-to person.
Excellent.
Yeah, it makes me happy I'm fine with being invisible and being in the back of the room, but to go from day one where we imagine something and then be standing in the back of the room 3, 6, 9, 12 months later and see what someone talked about now three-dimensional and alive around you, it's like each event to me is kind of like giving birth. It goes from concept to being real, and it's pretty incredible.
That's awesome. And I think for me, just sort of learning about all of this over the last year or so, I had a totally different outlook of what, now of course there are event planners on different scales, but to me it was, you know, think of a wedding planner, someone calls and wants to organize the wedding and they help out with that. But now sort of starting to realize that, like you said, it takes 9, 10, 12 months for some of these things to come to fruition. And that's all behind the scene things that people who are at that event have no clue about. They just go and say, hey, this was great. That was fun. When in reality, it was a year worth of planning to make what seems like an effortless event go perfect. And to me, that's very intriguing. And I really respect the amount of undercover sort of behind the scenes work that goes into making something successful. That to me is very challenging and intriguing. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
What would you say right now, currently, is your biggest challenge in your business?
It's funny. It's a perfect segue because you were just saying, you know, so many people don't know what goes on behind the scenes. This industry is incredibly misunderstood. When I tell people what I do for a living, you know, usually the top three answers are, can you put me in your suitcase and take me with you? Oh, you're so lucky you get to travel. Or, oh, you plan parties for a living. And it's incredibly, what we do is incredibly misconstrued, not only by people in the industry who don't ask the right questions, who just look at things as throwing parties, who don't have a strategy, who don't have a way to measure goals and metrics in place, who don't know how to manage a budget, who can't negotiate contracts, but somehow are doing this for a living. And for the people who will say, oh, you know, I'm going to open a party planning business because I planned my son's 7th birthday and I did a really good job.
Yep.
And it's the equivalent of saying, you know, hey, Adam, I made a really good dinner last night, so I'm going to open a restaurant. One has nothing to do with the other. So one of my biggest challenges about the business and the industry is it's not regulated. Anyone can do it. You don't need a license to do it. And there are tons of people who are not planners, who are in low-level support positions, whose CEOs say, here, go plan this meeting. And it's just, it then takes away the skills that those of us who have spent our lives doing this have developed. And we are completely looked at as an industry that is not necessarily professional and takes no real skill. And those of us who are doing it well, we negotiate contracts, we plan menus, we're certified in CPR and first aid training. You know, we're up on various government regulations with AVIMED and all these Sunshine Act for medical meetings. It's a lifetime of learning. And it's incredibly misunderstood, and that's very frustrating.
I can relate 100%, and I could see where you're coming from. I mean, I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he says, one of my biggest issues is that people, you give them a price quote, and you know, they say, I have a $100,000 budget, and then you give them a price quote to run their entire event, and it's always the shell shock.
Yep.
Well, what do you mean? You're just planning the event. Right. How am I going to... That's so much money, and it's because they don't. And then, I'll just do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see your frustration. It is a good segue into the next question. As an entertainer myself, I deal with it every day. I mean, I give a price quote, and someone says, I just got a quote for $200 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I'm sure you want to say, go ahead and pay your $200 and just realize you'll probably never hire another magician again. Because you're getting a $200 an hour magician, as opposed to, okay, here's my budget to plan your whole event. Or you can have the secretary or in your HR department do it for free. Mm-hmm. And then you'll realize you'll probably never have them plan another event. So I totally understand that frustration. And I don't know what the solution to it would be. So that's probably going to continue to be one of your biggest challenges throughout your career.
You know, I'm actually, I've written a lot of articles on this in terms of, you know, back in the day when you flew, the person who helped you on the flight was a stewardess. And their catchphrase was, you know, coffee, tea, or me. And they were just pretty ladies who, you know, flirted and they brought you soda and they were kind of like sky waitresses.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, they as an industry internally grouped and said, we need to change this dialogue. We are not sky waitresses. We are here for people's safety. You know, we do so much more than serve drinks. And now, I mean, you talk to millennials, they don't even know what a stewardess is because all they know are flight attendants.
Sure.
But flight attendants internally decided to change the dialogue from within. And once they all got on the same page of this is who we are, this is what we do, these are our standards, and this is our core mission, they were then able to educate the people they served. Because our industry is not regulated, is very fractious, it's a struggle to do that. But it's funny because I write about this and speak about it all the time. I'd like to change the dialogue internally so that when someone says to me, oh, you're so lucky you get to plan parties for a living, I very nicely, but always take that opportunity to educate that person. So every time someone says to a planner, oh, you're so lucky you get to travel for a living, and they just smile and say yes, they're hurting us. So until we all band together and take all those opportunities to educate people one at a time, or until the industry can become cohesive or becomes regulated, you're right, we're going to struggle with this. There is a solution. I have yet to figure out how to get everyone in the same room to create that answer.
Sure.
To implement the answer. I have the answer. I don't know how to implement it.
When you, for the listeners, where would they be able to find some of the writings that you've touched on that subject?
If my website is strategic.events, there is no .com, it's just strategic.events. And if you go to the In the News page, there's a big article called Pink Collar Progression. There are a ton of articles in there and a lot of them speak on this.
Great. And we'll get a link to that on the bottom of this as well. So you can see that right there to the website and the link you just spoke about too.
Thank you.
So the next question I've got is more of a personal question for me. Mm-hmm. What challenges do you face when sourcing entertainment for your clients?
It's funny. Everyone's always saying, you know, we want the latest, the greatest, the newest. And at the end of the day, what they want truly is for the guests to be entertained. And for the entertainment has to ask the same questions that the planners do. Who is your audience? What is your goal? Because if my goal is for my guests to be engaged, then I want you to ask me that question because then you may do close-up magic instead of stage magic because I'm going to get three people together and I'm going to go in little clusters of people and these folks are now going to interact while I'm doing this versus I want everyone to, you know, this is pay attention and whatever. And we need our executives to seem more accessible. So you're going to do a stage show, bring my CEO on the stage and make him disappear or, you know, hypnotize him or do something that makes him seem more human and more approachable. So it's difficult sometimes to find entertainers who are willing to go on that journey with me as opposed to this is what I do. It's formulaic. What you need is really the least of my worries. This is what I do. And that's it.
Sure.
So sometimes I really struggle to find an entertainer who's, sorry.
No problem.
Who's mature enough and who's confident enough to be able to work with me on how do we cater the program to my needs, not, you know, my goal is not to write you a check. My goal is for you to help me enhance my meeting and for me to pay you for that.
Awesome. Great, great advice. And I think any entertainers out there listening should definitely re-listen to exactly what that answer was. I deal with a lot of entertainers and it is a lot of the, look, I've been doing this my whole life. I know what I'm doing. Just give me a microphone and a stage where mm-hmm. that's 100% the opposite approach. So that's a great answer. Thank you for that. How do you evaluate a vendor for your event? If you're sourcing some vendors, somebody comes to you and says, I want a magician or I want a band. How do you go about evaluating that vendor before you kind of agree to do business with them?
We send them a list of here's what our expectations are. Here's what we will and will not tolerate. Here's what we expect. And we have our vendors sign vendor agreements with us. That will speak to, you know, we're going to lay it out for you right now. This is what we expect from you. So they, when they walk into it, they know what our expectations are and we know what theirs are.
Mm-hmm.
We also, there are a lot of really great message boards online that you can ask fellow planners. And the truth is, one of the only benefits to being old is you get to know a lot of people.
Sure.
And you've seen a little bit of everything. So it allows me at this point to pick up a phone and say, hey, have you heard of, who have you used? So sometimes it is word of mouth. I use the internet to a degree, but I find that, you know, an internet site is very much like online dating. You know, you can paint any face you want.
Absolutely.
And it may not be what's actually real. So I do a lot of investigating, and it's a lot of communication with the vendors up front.
Very cool. Yeah. It's very easy to manipulate a website to make you look like a rock star. And that another issue in our industry is that you get some hack jobs that do really good web design or really yep. convincing fake testimonials and things mm-hmm. like that. And mm-hmm. so I love that you actually send something out and it's 100% known for both parties what's to be expected. So that's great.
Yeah, we also pay really close attention to what's the turnaround time for you to get back to me? How responsive are you? Because if we're still just vetting you and it's we get half answers, it takes 2 days, I send you an email, I have to leave messages, you know, we're not probably going to get past that phase with you, because if I can't get you to answer the phone before I've paid you, then, you know, that's a problem, because you're supposed to be, you know, even more attentive right now because you want the business.
Exactly.
So we also pay attention to their free commitment behavior, because that's usually very indicative of what's going to come next.
Awesome. Great advice. So as far as you and your clientele, where do you get most of your clients? Is this word of mouth? Is it from SEO marketing that you do? Is it just from being one of the industry leaders in the game? Where do most of your clients come from?
You know, I don't, for corporate planning, I don't believe in SEO marketing, because someone who would hire me, someone who's so, I don't want to say out of touch, but anyone who would go online and do SEO search for strategic planners is so unplugged that frightens me, because, you know, what I do is this could be a year-long, two-year-long relationship. So you can't hire me by finding me online. It's usually relationships. It's word of mouth. People have read things that I've written, seen me speak. It's usually from people who understand the price point, are educated customers, and who are looking for high level of service and who really have incredibly high demands and who expect them to be met. It's folks who are just out there shopping for planners. Like you were saying before, when you hand someone an invoice and they don't understand why it costs as much as they do, I'm happy to teach people coming into the industry how to become planners, but it is not, I do not get fulfillment in teaching people how to hire a planner.
Sure.
You know, I don't want to educate you every step of the way, because when you find out coffee costs $160 a gallon in San Francisco, I'm going to spend more time explaining the industry to you than
sure.
I have time for. So yeah, I wouldn't take an SEO, you know, a lead that came off the internet blind anyway. It's not my caliber of customer.
It's great. I think that's good advice across the board. Normally, if someone's searching on Google for a paid service, they're searching for the cheapest they can get. That's just the fact of the matter.
Pretty much.
So if you're going to be hunting in whatever industry you are, if you're going to be spending a lot of money and effort to get yourself first in Google, you have mm-hmm. to realize, unless you've got a direct product that's serving a need, if you're selling a service, you're going to be competing with every other person out there. And I can bet you my year salary that there's someone that will do it for $50 or $100 less than you just to get the gig. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, never sell on price.
And then if you had one thing that you just pulled your hair out about your industry that drove you batty, what would that be?
Yeah, our perception in the industry and the lack of respect.
The lack of understanding of what it yeah. really takes? Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then who would be like a perfect client for you, an ideal client?
You know, we steer away from blue chip companies that have enormous master service agreements and who you really can't affect change with, because it's like, you know, trying to steer a cruise ship. We look for mid-sized companies that have anywhere from 150 or more salespeople who they want to train, incent, who have clients who they want to either do roadshows for or product launches for. But it's for people who appreciate strategy, who want someone who can manage everything from, it's like the wake me up when it's time to go package. Like, we'll pretty much do everything that needs to be done for the event, and who wants us to partner with them and allows us the respect to just do what we need to do, and who partners with us, but truly just lets us go in, make things perfect, and who's smart enough to take the bow at the end. Let us do the work and they take the bow.
Awesome. And then what for that client, let's say you found them, what would the first step you want them to take be? If they were approaching you, what would the first step sort of initiating that understanding that what you guys do would work well with them? What would you, is it just a direct call to your guys' place of business or?
Yeah, shoot me an email.
Awesome.
Yep. That way, no matter where I am in the world, I can answer it.
Sure, sure. It sounds fun. You get to go plan parties and travel the world. That sounds like a great job.
You're funny, Adam. I'm going to use my magician skills and make you disappear now.
Yes, yes. That's a totally different act. That's a guy named Bruno from New York City, and he charges different than me. Well, Christy, I really appreciate your time. You've been a huge help. And the last little bit I wanted to touch on is just to let you plug anything you would like to let people know where to find you, where to learn more about you, and we'll put links below so they can track all that information down.
Thank you. So you can find me at christy.lamagna at strategic.events, which again will be the link on the bottom, so I won't spell it. And the other thing is I do a lot of corporate coaching and individual one-on-one training. So if you're an event manager who's looking to build infrastructure or help streamline your events department, if you need someone to negotiate your contracts, or if you're someone who's either looking to break into the industry or who's in the industry and wants to get to the C-suite level, I offer coaching and private tutorials on how to do that.
And they would find that through your main site as well?
They can just email me, and I'm a big fan of talking to people directly and finding out exactly what they need and meeting them where they are in terms of needs and, you know, opportunities I can provide for them.
Excellent. Well, Christy, thank you again so much for your time. It's been a pleasure and very knowledgeable experience. So I want to thank you one last time, and we will have all the links below. So without further ado, I will let you continue on with your day.
Adam, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
Bye.